Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you orchestrate these things in such a beautiful and unique way. Man, we say it every week, but it's just so wonderful how you speak to Audrey, how you speak to Pastor John and Elisa, how you speak to myself, how you speak to each one of us in here, and we all bring something to the table. And Lord, it's just, we're just so grateful for what you're doing in our lives and in our midst. And I'm so grateful for this body that we get to be a part of and support one another. And from the youngest one here to the oldest one here, Lord, what a blessing it is to grow in our faith together. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to share, we're going to read on Psalms 139 here in a minute. I kind of been sharing this in Selah, and I wanted to give you a quick little recap of Selah. I and youth group, because it's you don't always get to see and hear what's going on down there, and especially on Wednesday nights. But in Selah class, that's our junior high class, and so that's from ages 9 to 13, 14. We've kind of just been like, once they're freshmen, they kind of go into the youth group. And we range anywhere from 15 to 25 every Wednesday. Usually we're in the 20s. And sometimes we're over 25. And then it gets a little gnarly. But it's great. And it's loud and it's chaotic, but it's awesome. And you guys, it's just so encouraging when we hear the feedback of what, man, they speak truth, they understand. It's just so exciting to see. And so a lot of those people, kids are coming from the community that their parents don't come on Sunday. I don't even know if they attend regularly at other churches. But you guys, and it's just like, I was in preschool the other day, and we opened in prayer, and this little girl, and I don't know if she goes to church. I don't know that she goes to church anywhere. And she was praying, and she just says, "And I just love God. He's just so good. I just love God." And I thought, that will be with her for the rest of her life. Come what may. The truth has been planted in her heart. There will be a harvest, and that's something, man, it's just like, man, the days that I walk into preschool and go, I do not have the patience for three-year-olds today. And then you sit down and you hear that, and you go, well, that's pretty cool. I guess I'll get over myself. But, you know, and it's just beautiful, and it's the same thing in Selah. I stepped into youth because there's a group of kids that were aging on a Selah. It was Alexis's age group. And they were full of my nieces and nephews, and I thought, well, I'll see them through till they graduate, and then we'll see what happens, and I don't really feel like I need to do much with youth. And so we started, and Katie reminded me of this week, we started, there was four or five of them. Sometimes they came and sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they brought friends, sometimes they didn't. And but they came pretty consistently. We walked them through their graduation. The week of graduation, Katie and I spent a lot of time in prayer because almost every single one of them said, I don't know if I'm going to graduate. And we're like, okay, we're going to get you through one way or the other. But that was wonderful. And then it was kind of like, well, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Well, then my son entered into high school, and I was like, well, I probably should see that guy through. And anyway, all that to say, we've had high numbers. We had, we think, 17 in youth group this week, you guys. And they came because the other kids who've been coming invited them. And why do I tell you this? Because there's so much going around. And if you get distracted by what you're looking at out in the world, you're going to miss what God's doing in this little bubble. And that's not the greatest example, but it's kind of how I keep referring to it. It's like, I'm in this bubble, and I'm going to stay in this bubble. I'm in Sturgis, South Dakota. I'm going to love the people in Sturgis, South Dakota. I have a family of five. I'm going to love the people in my family. I'm in Believers Fellowship Church. I'm going to love the people in Believers Fellowship Church. And I think when we can make that our priority and make that our focus, and we don't get distracted with, like, man, it's really crazy out there. Because it is a distraction. And I am not saying that those things don't deserve attention, don't deserve prayer, don't deserve acknowledgement, or that you should be naive. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that when you let that consume you, you miss what God is literally doing in front of you. And the young people, there is a generation coming up that loves the Lord. There is a generation coming up that is, I believe, going to, the pendulum's going to swing, and we're going to see them very active in growing the body of Christ, and not just, oh, great, well, there's a tent. No, like, man, they are growing. They love the Lord. They know the Lord. They know his concepts, his precepts. They know his word. And when I talk to them, it's just so encouraging. I just keep reminding myself, man, I must have been such a dumb kid because some of them are so much smarter than me when it comes to things. I'll be like, you know how sometimes you struggle with like this concept and they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, well, some of us did in the 90s and I don't know what to tell you about that. But anyway, and it's just really cool. I will say it's the most intimidating audience you can ever speak in front of. But when I see them, you know, there's a couple times Katie has to be like, they were locked in, don't worry. I'm like, I don't know. I was sweating pretty good in there today. But they are locked in. They are hearing, they're receiving the word of God. And it's taking root in their lives from this young age to, you know, the oldest person in this room. And you guys, you're a part of that and you're doing that. But so how I started this out is my biggest goal in CELA and youth group is to make sure that they know who they are in Christ. And that it's not through the lens of what the world maybe they don't see themselves maybe through the lens of what the world says about them, but who Christ says they are. And that's a big, I don't know about you, but there's some mornings I wake up and I don't believe what Christ says about me. I believe what the world is saying about me or what I am saying about myself or even maybe what one of my kids said about me that day, you know. And so it's like, what does Christ say about me? And if you can have that foundation, then and you're in a safe and a healthy place to grow. And so none of us are going to get through this life without making mistakes. And I tell that to them quite frequently because when I was their age, when I made a mistake, I really thought, well, this is it. How am I going to get out of this hole now? And, you know, God, if you see me through this one more bad decision I made, I promise I won't do it again. And, you know, I think they're far healthier than I was because they don't deal with that. I mean, not all of them. I think some of them do. But my goal is really to encourage them to not. But usually when we make a mistake in our life, we can approach it one of two ways. I'm sure there's more, but I'm going to talk about these two ways. You either struggle with the shame of it, and not doing enough or making a mistake, and that was me. I struggled with a lot of shame. I can still, if I don't feel like I lived up to what I should have been doing, I can live in that shame. Or sometimes you take the position of justifying what you did wrong and calling it something that it was not and saying, well, the reason I did that is XYZ. And in both situations, what it really takes is humility to come in front of the Heavenly Father and say, there's definitely situations where I'm like, I don't know why I did that or said that or acted that way. Will you come help me figure that out? And when we humble ourselves, which we're going to talk a little bit about today, and allow the Holy Spirit, like Pastor Lisa was saying, or the Heavenly Father come and tell us, reveal things to us, show us, you know, hey, you have a root of this in your life and it might be producing something you don't want in your life. That's where we see growth. That's where we see change. That's where we can see shame be abolished from our life. And so bear with me. We are going to read the whole chapter of Psalms 139. The more and more I preach and the older I get, I have a really hard time anymore taking one of the scriptures out because usually there's so much more around it that's so beautiful. So King David is writing this. It's either a song or a poem, and we're going to get into that in a second. But in Psalms 139, it says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever had something come out of your mouth and you're like, I don't know where that came from? Well, he did. And so just not to make you feel bad about it, but he did. Okay. Because there's definitely times when things come out of my mouth and I go, oh, that was going to stay in there. And it didn't. So, but he knows it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay a hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you, for you have formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in, in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, and when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Then he switches back. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there are any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. So I want to break this down for a little bit, because if you really go through it, it's very beautiful what he's saying. What I admire so much about David is he's a screw up, really, to be honest with you. We see time and time again where humanity wins in him, and where he makes a poor decision, and where he is like, oh, Lord, what have I done? You know, and if that is not the most relatable thing to us as humans, I don't know what is. You know, you can look at David and look at his story and go, why would God ever use David? He was, you know, he literally sent a man to battle so he can marry his wife. I mean, this is just crazy. And it's like, yeah, but then you kind of like hang out with the family for a while and you're like, well, some crazier things have happened, right? And so it's like, it's actually such a beautiful story of how God is true to his word, where he says he's no respecter of persons. But the Bible also says that David was a man after the heart of God. And when you read Psalms, it's basically his journal. It's him crying out with thanksgiving. It's him honoring how creative and how beautiful and wonderful the Lord is. Then there's chapters in there where he's shaking his fist at God and he's angry at him, and it's his prayer journal. It's all these things. And what he's describing here is he's like, God, I know that you know me. I know from the foundations of the earth you knew me. From, man, we have new babies in here and they are beautifully and wonderfully made. At what point did we wake up and decide that some of us aren't beautifully and wonderfully made? You know, it's like he's just this so eloquently describing what the creator of the universe, he's created this whole thing, and yet his favorite creations are us. Like, that's crazy to me, you know? And he's talking about how much he loves them, how much he loves, how he knows every bit of them. He knows, I know that you know every crazy thought I have, and you even know how much I hate people who don't love you or hate you. And he's talking about how frustrating that is, and that he just can't seem to, you know, like, let me at him. He kind of has this, let me at him, God. If you just let me at him, I'll take care of him for you if you just let me at him. And then what he says there at the end is he goes, but search my heart, because I know it's full of hate. I know I got things in there that need to be purged out. So search me, O Lord. And when you take that position of humility and you allow the Heavenly Father, he already knows you. We've established that. He knows every single thing about you. But if I'm being completely honest with you, there's definitely times in my prayer life that I've tried to justify. Like I said, when I was younger and I made that poor decision, I'm like, okay, God, let's make a deal. Like, and he's like, what a dumb thing to say, an immature thing to say. But God, I was like, if we just act like that didn't happen. But we do that. We do that in our lives. Rather than coming with the position of like, you already know. But the act of humility, of being teachable, of saying, Lord, I want you to search my heart. And not only do I want you to search my heart because I know that you already know that, I want you to reveal to me what it is I need to do differently. I want you to reveal to me maybe there is a hurt that I have pushed so far down that I have not even acknowledged that I need you to say, hey, you got this little seed that you've been holding on to, and it's producing something in your life you don't want. But that act of humility, of being teachable, you guys, it does something. You are not teachable if you are a know-it-all. And I say this a lot in Sela. It's really, really hard sometimes to have a relationship with a know-it-all, to somebody who just is right all the time. Even if they're not, they're going to somehow spin it that they're right. And it's very hard to allow God to have a place in your life of instructing you and revealing things to you if you're constantly trying to justify. Well, like, oh, hear me out here. Hear me out. You know, David did that at times, but then was quickly came around and be like, okay, God, I've messed up. Help me. And that's why God said he was a man after his own heart, is because he would show humility of being teachable and allow God to come and speak to him and correct him. And it wasn't always pleasant, and it wasn't always great, but humility is where we can find some power in our life, of coming before him and saying, I don't know why I keep finding myself in these same situations, in these same places. Will you search my heart, and will you teach me what it is that I'm doing wrong? Will you show me? That's powerful. And no, nobody wants to hear how you're doing it wrong. Isn't that just a treat when that happens to you? But how powerful it is to come to that place where you allow him to speak to you and reveal things to you and make those changes. And if you look around us, there's a bit to be discouraged by. We have people of every opinion, background, education, belief system declaring quite loudly what they believe to be true. And this goes universal. Guys, it goes down to the most mundane topics that we are now subjected to arguing about, because we know what's right. And we know the truth. And in a day and age where really, like, we have so much access to so much, I think we actually know very little truth. And I caution all of us, myself included. I found myself just kind of, like I said, retreating more and more to my bubble, a little less out there, because it's just like, I know I don't know. I'm not educated enough on a lot of political situations and different economics and products, you know, whatever it is that you might read a review about. And I'm not educated enough to form an opinion. And when something happens and 5 minutes later you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people declaring their opinion on a situation, I think that is a sign that maybe we need to slow down a little bit. And before we say something, say, search my heart, Lord. Am I responding in anger? Am I responding in frustration? Am I responding because somebody else responded and I feel like I need to respond? Search my heart, O Lord. May you know the words that are about to come out of my mouth, and may they be from you. May they be how you would speak to this situation. May they not be the opinion that I have or the opinion that of somebody I listen to, but what are you? Look, search me, Lord. And the thing about it, and you know, we raise our children this way, and we teach about this, the only person you can control is you. But if you're taking your information from a lot of different places and different people, rather than going, okay, God, what do you want me to say? Or say nothing at all. How do you want me to love? How do you want me to show support in this situation? How do you want me to be a light in this world that's so rapidly seems lost? But that's where David is such, to me, a great example of someone who did not get it right every time and yet showed humility. If we were all walking around with a little more humility of like, hey, I'm not saying, I don't think I know it all, that would change things, I think, dramatically. And being teachable from the one who does know the truth and the one that whose opinion really does matter. The Bible is full of moments of people showing humility and repentance and changing of their mind. Peter denies God, Jesus, 3 times, right? Finds himself in quite the pickle. And yet Jesus gives him an opportunity to be teachable and repent, and he does. And Peter is instrumental in changing the early church and starting that. Saul was so radically changed by his perception when he met Jesus on the road that his name was actually changed. That's like his identity had to be changed because he had such a radical encounter with Jesus, and he changed his perspective and his opinion because he said he was teachable, because he let Jesus come and speak truth to him, and he let, man, oh, I was so... Out of everyone you read really in the Bible, Saul is so dogmatic on what he believes. He really does believe that he's serving God by killing the Christians and doing all those things. And he has such a radical change in encounter that what he does in the early church is just, I mean, we read it every week, his teachings and what he did. But if he did not humble himself in that moment, if he did not become teachable in that moment, we wouldn't have those writings. We have Moses, who was mightily used by God, and yet he had to humble himself time and time again. The Bible is full of these stories and examples for you and I to say, I don't know that I'm getting it right. Actually, I know that I'm not getting it right. And I know there's situations that I feel confident in or committed to that I need the Lord to come say, I need to invite the Lord in and say, will you search my heart? Maybe I'm off on something. Maybe this thing I'm holding on to is actually not from you. Maybe I need to be teachable in this moment. Job, I've studied that and haven't studied it, and I hear really awesome teachings about it, but Job, in his suffering, allows God to come minister to him. And it's a fight. If you read through the book of Job, he's up and down, which we are sometimes in grief and suffering. And God is just so patient with us. But he says at the end of Job, after he's gone through this whole process, he says, then Job, I'm going to read it in the NIV, sorry. So it's going to look different than that because I really want to read it in this version, in this context. It says, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? And Job says, surely I spoke of things I did not understand. Whew. That is a humble position to make. Man, Lord, I have spoken about things that I do not understand. I maybe even misrepresented you at times when I really, really shouldn't have. What a humble place to come to. What a teachable moment in his life. Things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. It's one thing to know the word of God and know about God, and it is another thing to see him in your life and see him active. And the quickest way that we can get there to see him moving and active in our life is to be humble and say, God, I don't know it all. In fact, I think there's probably some areas I'm doing it wrong. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Help me in my unbelief. Speak truth to me. We look around us and including us in this room can do this, but how many people are speaking about things they do not understand? And I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. And you're going back to how I opened this. You won't get through this life without doing it. But to come to a place where it's, search me. If this is not from you, I don't want it. If this is not reflecting the love and the light that you want the world to see, take it from me. Confidence and authoritative language a true leader does not make. Just because somebody is loud and has a platform and talks confidently does not mean they know the truth and does not mean they're a leader that you should be putting in confidence or trust in. I've learned this the hard way for me. For me, I usually take the position that I'm probably wrong in an argument unless I absolutely know that I'm right. And then I will not, you can ask my husband, I will not back down if I absolutely know. But he's the same way, so it's a problem. But anyway, if I'm always in the position of like, I probably got that wrong. Let me go read that again. Maybe I got that wrong. And I'm not saying I'm humble. It's actually a problem that I have, that I'm like, I don't know. You know, that's not always humility either. It's an excuse sometimes to not have, confidence in the authority that God's given you. But usually I go home, and going back to the beginning, I operate a lot of times in shame. I'll go home today probably and dissect everything I said and didn't say and then go into a deep, dark hole. But that's my Sunday afternoons if anybody wants to come over. But anyway, that's not healthy either. That's not, because like at the beginning, I'm not going to get this all perfect. But I am consistently coming through to the Heavenly Father and saying, is this belief that I've been raised in or taught or held on to or have developed, is it from you? Because I don't want it if it's not from you. I want to know what you want me to do. I want to know what you want me to speak. I really do. The heaviest place I could ever feel it is when you're talking in front of a bunch of youth group and it's like, man, I don't want to say something that's going to set them on a course for the next 10 years that they have to uproot. God, search my heart. Stop that thing that wants to come out of my mouth if it's not from you. But I encourage you, if the people that you're admiring the most are just loud and opinion, and like I said, I learned this the hard way where I'm like, okay, well, they seem very sure of themselves. They seem very sure of themselves. So I'm going to follow their lead on this subject. And man, they seem to kind of know it all. And then I get kind of down the road with them. I'm kind of like, oh, that's not really, I don't think that's true. And I don't really like how they're doing that. And it's sometimes the most confident people outwardly are the most insecure inside and actually not as knowledgeable as you think they are. And so in this world right now where we are getting tons of information and tons of opinions and a lot of people that are saying, follow my direction. If you do it like this, then you're going to be okay. Red flag. It should always be, Lord, what do you say about this situation? Search me, O Lord. What I was telling the Selah kids this week is this. When you say, search me, O God, and know my heart, he will. And he will reveal things to you. And he will speak to you. I'm going to tell you what I tell my Selah kids every week. He does, he can, he will speak to you. Now, what do I do with that? Because I know there's times in my life I've been on a team and a coach will say, if you just change your serve like this and do this technique differently, it will change everything for you. And I'll be like, yeah, right. No, thank you. And when the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father reveal things to you and speak to you, you have an option to say, take that correction and apply it to your life, or say, no, thanks. I don't think so. I don't want that. And you're going to have two dramatically different outcomes in your life. But to be humble and to be teachable and allow him. And here's the thing. I've had some rough coaches in life that have told me, I've been a rough coach at times. And said, if you get it together and do this and this. That is not the Heavenly Father. He is so kind. He's so gracious. He's so merciful. He comes to us in the most gentle of ways. If you're hearing a voice that says, you're worthless, you're not doing it right, you need a change, that's not God. I don't know who it is, probably you, but that's not God. God is so kind and so merciful and so gracious that he comes and he just kind of like gives you a little nudge. I'm like, what about this area? And I then have the right and I have the opportunity to say, you're right, God. I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to follow your lead on this. Or I have the right and the privilege of saying, nah, I think I'm going to hold on to that a little longer. I think I'll do it my way a little longer. And he, in both situations, the Heavenly Father goes, I honor your choice. You've made your choice. But just coming to the place of saying, search me, O Lord, opens the door for you in so many possible ways to grow and mature. We've been talking about that this year in our body, of growing and maturing and just having that position of saying and meaning it, saying it and meaning it. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. I love that. Man, I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to lead people to hurt. I don't want to exasperate people's hurt or, you know, exploit that. And so if I am doing that in any way, Lord, search my heart. I don't want to point people to other things in this world or other, you know, opinions and other tactics if they're not from God. Search me, O Lord, and know. Lord, I want to speak truth in a loving way. Guard my heart and mouth. I want to do it your way. But man, just taking that humble place, being teachable, opens the door. So I just encourage, man, to say that a few times this week. When you're tempted to respond to someone in the way that you've probably responded 100 times, just stop and say, Search me, O Lord. Give me the words to speak. When you're tempted to have doubt in a situation that you've been believing God for a change for a very, very long time, and you're ready to speak doubt over it again, just search me, O Lord. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. Whatever it may be that you're going through, search me, Lord. And in response, I will listen and I will follow your voice. Not the voice of another, not the voice of masses of people who sometimes sell me on the fact that they know what's best, and then it comes about that they really don't know. And here's the other thing, it's okay that you don't really know, but you know the one that does. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the opinions. But seeking the one that does and seeking his truth, that's where the power lies. So if you just stand with me. I'm going to say, I really do mean to say this in the nicest way, but when, it might come out wrong, when you take this position, like I said, it does promote growth and maturity, and you have that choice, and you have the choice to not mature and to not to grow in the things of God, and you have the choice to know God, know about him, attend a Sunday or two, show up when you want to, all you have that choice, and God honors that choice, and it's not that doesn't have blessings that come with it. But to put yourself in a position to be corrected so that you can grow and mature in the things of God. I really do believe that that's where you start seeing things shift in your life and change for the better. To take a place of humility and say, obviously my way hasn't worked the last 10 years in this situation. What do you say about it? It's a great opportunity to grow up in some areas. And I do encourage you to grow up in some areas. I'm encouraging myself. There's patterns in my life, and there's things that I do. And it's like, gosh, why do I keep finding myself here? Search me, O Lord. I want to uproot that. I want it gone. Maybe some of you have had unforgiveness for as long as you can remember. And that maybe you know you have bitterness and you have anger and you have unforgiveness, but you can't really remember why it even started. You just have it. And it's like, search my heart, O Lord. Reveal that to me. I want to uproot that. I want that to go. I want that to be purged from my life. It's not producing anything that I want in my life. It's time for me to mature and get over that, or to heal from that, or to forgive where I haven't been forgiving, or to change my mind about something that I've been holding on to for far too long. And he is so faithful, and he's so kind, and he's so generous that he comes and does that. And now it's up to us to listen and to receive and to apply it. Heavenly Father, we do as a body just say, search my heart, O Lord. We know you already know. We know that from the foundations of the earth, you've known every single thing about us. And even in knowing every single thing about us, you've still called us wonderfully and fearfully made and valuable in your sight. And so we take the position of being humble and teachable and say, Lord, search our hearts. Speak truth where we're holding on to a lie. Help us forgive where we're holding on to unforgiveness. Help us to change our mind on a teaching that's just no longer serving us and maybe never did, maybe never benefited us, and maybe was actually never from you and what you intended. Help us purge that from our hearts so that we can live in a mature way and grow in the things of you, Lord, so that we can go help this world find you. Lord, we're just so grateful for the blessings around us. Lord, we are so grateful that Casey was able to come and join us today. We're so grateful that Pastor John gets to travel across the world just to minister to some pastors that at times, Lord, feel weary. Help us to seek opportunities this week to share your love and your mercy and your grace with others around us. And when we're really feeling frustrated or lost this week, may we take a moment and say, search our hearts, Lord. Reveal the truth. We want to know what you think of the situation, not what anybody else thinks. In your name I pray. Amen. Have an awesome week.